Invite you to take your Bibles. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 6 today. After I got done putting this lesson together, I decided I might have too much material just for this morning, so it might be a continuation next week too. But I'd like you to go to Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10. This verse is oftentimes cited and says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of the faith." And I have a question for you. What is meant by doing good? Many times we think of giving money to the poor, feeding the hungry, and all those things are good things. But is that what Paul had in mind? See, a lot of times we come reading scriptures, especially if we just read a passage not really considering its context, we oftentimes think about what the first thing that jumps to our mind. And a lot of times we think about the physical things of this life. But is that really what Paul's talking about? In fact, we do have a hint. The verse begins by saying, "So then," or "therefore." In other words, we have a conclusion being made. It's based on the passages before that. In fact, this context that we are in actually starts all the way back in chapter 5, back at verse 13. And we're going to start back there and work our way a little bit forward to hopefully eventually to chapter 6, verse 10. So starting back at chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 13 down through 16. "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." Paul had just at the finished discussing about the nature of the old law and how that we as Christians are not under that law. We are free from that law. But freedom from law, from the Old Testament law, does not translate into freedom to sin. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 16. It says, "Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God." We are free men as far as in regards to sin, guards to the law, but we are not free totally. We're still slaves to God. We still have to do what is right. In fact, when Paul talks about freedom, what he's really talking about is an opportunity, a freedom to be able to serve each other in love. That's where we have the freedom at. And we also have a freedom to win others to Christ. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. It says, "For though I am free from all men, I made myself a slave to all, so that I may win the more." And he goes on to talk about how he acts with the Jews and how he acts with the Gentiles. How he does everything focused on this one goal, to save as many people as possible. What gives him that opportunity? What gives him that right? He has some freedom in Christ. Freedom to love other people. It's not that the old law didn't teach that. In fact, the quote that Paul gives is out of Leviticus 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19 and in verse 18. Says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is God's command. It was to love one another. In fact, Paul says that this summarizes all, just about all the law. In Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 8, Romans 13, verse 8, it says, but owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in saying this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. How do you describe all those laws? You can look at it and say, you know, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. You can go on and on for a long list of things you can't do. Or you can look at it as a very simple summary. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Well, if I love my neighbor, I don't steal from them. I don't take things that belong to them. If I love my neighbor, I treat them with respect. If I love my neighbor, I don't lie to them, because that's not respectful. If I love my neighbor, I don't cheat. I don't commit murder. I don't do hatred. And suddenly all the laws fall into the same pattern. In fact, if we understand that, think about what Paul said. We're not underneath that old law, but we have a freedom to serve one another in love. But then he starts talking about, but if you bite and devour one another, internal feuds are the very thing contrary to what God has always commanded of us. Internal feuds end up pulling people away from the truth. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. This treatment that can come up is not from love. It's generated by people who put themselves first. And in James chapter 3, starting with verse 14, we're going to read all the way into James chapter 4. But James chapter 3, starting with verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is that which is not that which comes from down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? James's point is the same thing that Paul's talking about in Galatians. People who put themselves first, who look about what I want, don't have love for their neighbor. And from that comes a fleshly view of the world. You start thinking about things in terms of this life, not spiritually. You start thinking about things that I need or want right now, instead of looking at the long term of what someone spiritually needs. And it causes division. Paul then, and we had discussed this in the past, in Galatians chapter 5, goes into that those two lists, one about the flesh and one about the spirit. And then, since we have talked about that at length, I'm going to skip over that one. But let's jump down in Galatians chapter 5 and go to verse 24. Galatians 5 and in verse 24, he says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." We crucify the flesh with its desires. They're talking about the fact that we became Christians and we died with Christ. Back in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Again, it's not about this world. I'm here as a slave to Christ, doing his will. Peter's in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 11. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Stay away from them. Don't get into them. The things of this world, the lusts of this world, wage war against our spiritual life. And so, Paul also said in Romans 3 that we're not to make any provisions. We're not to make any room for the lusts that are in this world. In Romans chapter 13, Romans 13 and starting with verse 13, "Therefore let us not judge one another anymore." Oops, sorry, I got verse 14. Romans 13, verse 13. "Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to his lusts." That's what Paul said. We walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And it's the Spirit that gives us the life that we want to live. Take a look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and in verse 63. "It is Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life." Where do we find the Spirit? In the teachings of God. It came from the Holy Spirit. When we have those in our lives, they give us life. They free us from the world. We don't find this type of life in the world. We don't find it in the flesh. We find it in God's Spirit. And that's found in the words that Jesus taught and the disciples taught. It also means that we don't put ourselves first. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Same themes. The idea of love is counter to the idea of selfishness. The idea of being in the spirit is counter to being in the flesh. We don't put ourselves first. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, Peter says, you younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. Take away the pride. So often, so many of the problems that we have, is when you get down to the core of it, it comes down to pride. And so we get to Galatians chapter 6, where our scripture reading began this morning. And in verse 1, it says, brethren, if anyone is caught up in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourselves, so that you too will not be tempted. The spiritual, those not caught up in the world, those who have their mind on Christ, are to rescue those who are caught up in the ways of the flesh. Sometimes we got to realize it. Our job is to bring as many people to heaven as we can. Sometimes we get confused. You know, the Pharisees got confused a lot of times. They oftentimes looked at it, their job was to maintain spiritual purity. We're striving for spiritual purity, but our job is to get people to heaven. And so sometimes we have to put up with and have to deal with and have to work with people who are spiritually weak. In fact, that time happens quite often. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just to please ourselves. There's that idea again. You notice it keeps coming up? We don't operate out of selfishness. It's not about me. And so therefore, I have to deal with a whole bunch of people who are spiritually weak sometimes. We ought to do that. We have to deal with those who need strengthening to bring them to Christ, to bring them back. When someone does stumble, for instance, in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in verse 15. Let's go back to verse 14, because it talks about the stumbling there. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person, and do not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. It's not just throwing somebody out because they're not doing what is right. It is trying to turn someone around. You show that you disapprove by disassociating yourself. The whole idea is to admonish someone so that they, as a brother, to restore them back into the family. There's the goal. There's the purpose. That's what we're striving for. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 23, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Again, it's putting other people first, which means having to deal with other people's problems, trying to restore them. In other words, if we start looking at the context, what's the context about Galatians 6 about? Saving people from the world. It's talking about seeing to people's spiritual needs, not the physical needs. That's why also there's a warning to be careful. When someone's caught up in spiritual sins, getting caught up in this world, it's easy to get dragged into it. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that happen. People with really good intentions get caught up in the very sins that they're trying to help somebody else out. We have to be careful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 12, it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Why is that? Because in helping someone, we can easily fall into the trap of pride. You know that you're doing what's right. You're trying to rescue somebody else who's weaker and has needs aid. There's a position of pride right there that we could fall into. You think you stand. Take heed lest you fall. We have to be on our guard always, even when we're helping somebody else out of sins that they are caught up into. And so going on in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. The burdens then that we're talking about are not physical burdens. We're talking about spiritual burdens. Burdens that come from getting involved in sin. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58 and in verse 6. Is this not the fast which I chose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every other yoke? When God talked about fasting in the Old Testament, the Jews focused on the physical aspects of not eating. God said, hey, that this is a time to do spiritual good, to break yourself from sins and the bondage there. That's the fast that I want. And so passages like 1 Timothy or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 14. 'We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint heart. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone.' What's our job as Christians? to help each other get to heaven. Encouraging people, supporting them, teaching them. Because how else will somebody gain strength? Remember again what Paul said back in Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. How do you serve one another best? By teaching each other. By spiritually supporting each other. Getting people out of sin. And strengthening each one. We're freed from sin. And what we're trying to do is strive to free others from that sin as well. In Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 and starting with verse 17. Romans 6, starting with verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm not speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. See, in doing that, then we fulfill Christ's law. It's in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and in verse 34. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, so you also love one another. What did Christ do while he was here on earth? He taught. He spent 3.5 years of doing basically teaching. Yes, he did miracles. He helped those who were in need. But his focus was on teaching, the spiritual aspects. That's what people need. When we love one another, what do? We teach people how to live life. Now recall that selfishness is what pulls us away. And take a look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Selfishness is what pulls people into the flesh. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regards to himself alone and not in regards to another. See, we're pulled away to the flesh by selfishness. Thinking we're bigger than we are. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and in verse 3, it says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted each a measure of faith. It's such a problem in being a Christian. To think, hey, I got it. I'm righteous. I'm better than other people. That same chapter down in verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Same point being made. We associate, we involve ourselves in with those who are spiritually weak. We don't think we're superior. We think of everybody else as being the same. We treat everybody equal. cannot be caught thinking we're better than others because we weren't trapped in that particular sin that they might have been trapped in. In Proverbs chapter 26, Proverbs 26 and in verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. We don't want to get into that mode of thinking where we think we have it all. We have to put ourselves to the test. That's what Paul said. Not comparing ourselves to other people, but comparing ourselves to what God wants of us. Take a look at Galatians 6 again. And in verse 4, when we just read, Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, but each one must examine his own work. Then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regards to one another. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4, starting with verse 6. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? See, all of us learned. All of us were taught. We didn't get to the point of where we're at because we're such superior people. We struggle too. And so we should not get haughty again with other people who are struggling with sin. Another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And in verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Always, always, always look at yourself first. In fact, one passage I've neglected to put in there, in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And starting with verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Are we supposed to help one another? The answer is yes. Where do I start? I help other people by starting with me. I clean up my life, fix my problems, so that I can help somebody else with their issues and their faults. And if we live a righteous life in that manner, then we'll have joy. Take a look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 14. The backslider in the heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. You get what you sow, is what he's saying.
You get what you put into it. The backslider, yes, will get his reward. He'll get disgusted with it. But it goes the other way as well. The righteous man will also enjoy what he does. Well, he's going to get real joy out of that one. And like I said, I kind of expected I was not going to finish this. But I want just, we're going to pause right there and then we'll continue this in next week, Lord willing. But I want you to understand, we are talking about helping people out of sin. The spiritual needs that people have. There isn't a Christian who does not struggle with sin. Something is prevalent in all. Some are more obvious than others. But our goal is to get everyone to heaven as best we can. And so we have to deal with people's sins, and we have to deal with each other's burdens, and we have to deal with encouraging people who seem like they can't, every time we turn around, have to be encouraged yet again. That's what Christianity is about. We have to help one another. That's what love your neighbor is about. Hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's anyone who is a child of God, we'd like the prayers of brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's selected.